The other week, during the LA fires, I heard some horrific stories, you probably did too. Interviews with people who'd lost everything. Their home, car, businesses, all gone. Time and time again in these interviews, the thing that got them hardest wasn't the expensive things, but the priceless things. That the fire had consumed the photo albums, the clothes the child wore the first time they came home from hospital. Items that are treasured, not because of dollar value, but because of the memories they hold. What do you most treasure? If you had 10 minutes to get out of your home in an emergency, what would you grab? What do you treasure most of all? Today we're at the end of one of Matthew's blocks of teaching, the conclusion to a bunch of parables or stories Jesus told to explain the kingdom of heaven. Look back in your Bible at verse 11, Matthew 13 and 11. Jesus surprises us as he says he speaks in parables to conceal, not to reveal. To conceal himself from those who aren't his disciples and to reveal the kingdom to his disciples. We're going to see that a bit today. Because unlike what we've read so far over the last couple of weeks, with these four parables, Jesus doesn't really explain them. So we're going to have to use what we've learnt from the other parables to understand these. But we also need to be cautious because Jesus doesn't explain them for us. So with that word of warning, we're picking things up in verse 44 where Jesus tells us two parables about priceless treasures. Verse 44, Matthew 13 and verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, Jesus doesn't explain what these parables mean. So, what do they mean? Does the first parable mean finders keepers? If you find something, don't hand it in to the police, don't try and find the owner, because God's law is finders keepers. Or is it God wants you to have more money, that Christians should possess great treasures and priceless jewels? Is it that the nicer the pearl earrings you're wearing, the more godly you are? I trust you can see they're pretty crazy interpretations, but what's stopping us from interpreting them in that way? How can we rightly understand the parables, especially when they're not explained for us? Well, Jesus hasn't left us in the dark. The way he interpreted the other parables teaches us. We've seen so far that there is one main message for the parables. The nature of stories is they do get our imagination going. But Jesus' interpretation of the parables constrains our imagination. Jesus is making one point. Context also helps us understand the parables. There's a common thread in all of these parables. They're all about the kingdom of heaven. There's also the context where they come in Matthew's gospel. Where we're up to in the story that Matthew is telling us about Jesus, well, Jesus is going around proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. He's doing amazing things. The crowds are following him. The disciples are growing and learning. But the religious leaders and even Jesus' family are rejecting him. And the parable helps us understand all of this, all of these things that's been going on for Jesus and what we're about to see next, which we'll start next week, as Matthew keeps telling us the story of Jesus' life. We also interpret the parables in line with the whole Bible, and especially the Bible's teaching about the kingdom of heaven. So if we think these parables mean something that contradicts what the rest of the Bible says about the kingdom of heaven, we've probably got it wrong. So it's not likely the parables tell us to get rich no matter what. All right, so what is the point of the parables? They're both saying the kingdom of heaven is infinitely valuable. The kingdom of heaven is a priceless treasure. It's like those old MasterCard ads. Maybe for some of you, you're a bit too young, but for me, it was at my prime TV watching age. You'd have those videos, short snippets of loved ones reuniting, friends making memories together. And at the end it would say, there are some things money can't buy, for everything else, there's MasterCard. The series of ads was known as Priceless MasterCard. The kingdom of heaven is one of those things money can't buy. It's actually worth more than money. Even though in the parables, the characters sell everything to buy great treasure, the point is we can't buy our way into the kingdom of heaven. The point is the kingdom is worth more than money can buy. But here's the question. If the parables mean the kingdom of heaven is a treasure beyond value, why? Why is this kingdom so valuable? That's the big question. But just briefly, before we can get to that question, we've got to define the kingdom of heaven, don't we? The term kingdom of heaven is all through Matthew's gospel. The phrase is continually on Jesus' lips from the very start of his public ministry in chapter 4. What is the kingdom of heaven? From everything we've seen and heard so far in Matthew, here's a working definition. The kingdom of heaven is life with Christ as king. The kingdom of heaven is life with Christ as king. This is our working definition. You might want to change it or tighten it up a bit. The kingdom of heaven is life with Christ as king. And so the question is, why is life with Christ as king a priceless treasure? Why is entering the kingdom better than finding buried treasure or an exquisite pearl? I'm going to give us 11 reasons why the kingdom should be our greatest treasure. Originally, it was going to be 10. That's a good number. I've got 10 fingers. But as I was reading the Bible this week, another one popped up. This is not meant to be an exhaustive list. I'm hoping it gets us thinking about all the reasons we have to treasure Christ. And then over morning tea, let's share all the other reasons that this makes you think about and keep encouraging each other to treasure Christ above all. Also, this list is not really in any order. I just want to hit our hearts with a bunch of things that make us value, treasure, and praise Christ above all. I'm not going to scold us for not treasuring the kingdom as we should, because that's not what Jesus is doing in these parables. He's not rebuking the crowd for not treasuring the kingdom. No, he tells us these stories to grab our heart, to excite our imagination, to make us stop and think, well, how is the kingdom of heaven like a pearl? And it makes us want to treasure Christ and his kingdom. All right, so here are 11 reasons. The first reason to treasure the kingdom is because God's punishment is real. There is hell to be feared, and entering the kingdom means escaping hell. Verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. So Jesus does explain this parable. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This parable, very similar to what we heard with the wheat and the weeds. Verse 42, the weeds are gathered up, thrown into the fiery furnace, a place of weeping and grinding or gnashing teeth. This is serious. Jesus isn't mincing words. The Bible's message is clear. Jesus' message is clear. Because of our sin, we all deserve to face death and God's punishment. Because we have rejected God, there is a hell to be feared. This isn't a scare tactic. It would be a scare tactic if they were empty words. But when the evacuation orders come, that is not a scare tactic. It's a warning to get to safety. And the only safety from God's eternal punishment is in Jesus. Because he has taken the punishment we deserve. If you don't know Christ, you will be like those fish, gasping for air, dying on the shore. Fearing hell and escaping the wrath of God is a valid reason to trust in Jesus and treasure his kingdom. But there's many deeper and richer reasons as well. So mature faith in the kingdom actually finds deeper and better reasons than just escaping hell. And so the second reason to treasure the kingdom of heaven is that God is beautiful. Psalm 63, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Psalm 63, it's written by David, King David, about 1,000 years before Jesus. I don't think he means that he has seen God with his own eyes. The seeing, the beholding, is that he knows God. He's experienced God and his goodness, perfection, love, power and glory. Seeing God's beauty is a reason to treasure the kingdom. Everything good, praiseworthy and beautiful in this life, whether it's the smile of someone you love, or seeing a sunrise, or when you get out into the bush and your heart stops when you look up at the stars, these things that we gravitate to in these earthly things, the reason we find them beautiful is they reflect something of God's beauty. So the second reason to treasure the kingdom is because the God of heaven is beautiful. A third reason is because in the kingdom of heaven, we get to relate to the God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus' invitation in the gospel is that we get to call his Father our Father. He promises to give us his Spirit because we share in the same Spirit and call on the same Father. Jesus, who is the eternal Word of God, is our brother. So third reason to treasure the kingdom, in the kingdom we get to know God personally. Fourth reason, the values and virtues of the kingdom are precious. Think about what Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount. The bar Jesus sets is very high. It's not merely you shall not murder, it's don't get angry, don't insult. But even though the bar is high, the things Jesus says are precious and good and right. Condemning fake religious hypocrisy. Calling us to not only love neighbours, which is natural, but to love our enemies. Jesus says, the peacemakers are blessed. He calls his disciples to prioritise reconciliation. In the kingdom of heaven, virtues like love, joy, justice, peace, kindness, mercy are taught and grown. Even people who don't trust or follow Jesus, they like what he teaches. People want the values even if they reject Jesus. And yes, of course, they cherry pick the ones they like. But my point is, the values of the kingdom are good. So how much more, as people who know and love Jesus, should we value the kingdom because of its ethics and teaching? So that's reason four, to treasure the kingdom, because the values and virtues of the kingdom are worthy. Fifth, the kingdom is treasure because of eternity. Life in the new heavens and earth will be astounding. Now, of course, the best thing about eternity is we get to be with God. God dwells with his people. We see him face to face. And that's already, I've said that, haven't I? That's the second point we heard. We treasure the kingdom because God is beautiful. But even though God's presence is the best thing about eternity, we're given a picture in Revelation 21 that in the age to come, all the sad things become untrue. In eternity with God, there's no more crying, sadness, pain or sorrow because that is all history. We should treasure the kingdom because of the hope of resurrection life is all of the good things in this world, but without any of the sin, sickness or suffering. So the fifth reason is the goodness of life everlasting. The sixth reason is in the kingdom we receive the Spirit. Jesus says God gives the Spirit without limit. It's not like you're sharing a bottle of soft drink in your family and you pour it out carefully and make sure everyone gets precisely the same amount, and in a big family, it's just the bottom of the cup. When God gives his Spirit, it's full to overflowing. By the Spirit we know God. He is the Spirit of adoption, so we call God Father. He is the Spirit of illumination and truth, so we know God truly. He is the Spirit who is holy and transforms us by the renewing of the mind, so we know the will of God. The Spirit empowers us to speak the good news of Jesus with boldness. So sixth reason to treasure the kingdom is the Spirit. The seventh reason is because of forgiveness. We are welcomed into this kingdom only because of what Jesus did on the cross. That he took the punishment we deserve so we can be forgiven and reconciled to God. We all know the weight of shame and guilt. Well, in the kingdom, that weight is taken off us by Jesus. There is total, full, unconditional forgiveness in Christ. This means we no longer need to be controlled by the opinions of others. Their criticism or rejection has no power because we know that we are in Christ, clothed in his righteousness. We are accepted because we're forgiven by God. Eighth, the joy of Christian fellowship and identity. In the kingdom of heaven, we get to be part of God's church, the household of God, the pillar and buttress of truth. Jesus says, we may lose relationships and homes because of him. But in his kingdom, we receive 100 times more and eternal life. One of the treasures of the kingdom of heaven is the relationships and fellowship of our local church and the wider Christian community. Ninth, and I'll admit this is one of those reasons I have not yet plumbed the depths of. One of the reasons the kingdom is precious is we get to share in Christ's suffering. Philippians 3:10-11, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This is deep stuff. Maybe you've had the experience where you know this is very true for you. For many of us, it's something we know in our heads, we know the Bible says it, but we struggle with it in our hearts. Paul doesn't say he's willing to tolerate hardship because of the benefit of attaining resurrection to eternal life. No, Paul says he desires to know Christ, which must include participation in his sufferings. Maybe it's because of how suffering shapes and teaches us to treasure Christ more and more. Maybe because in suffering, impurity and sin is burned off. But Paul doesn't only say he endures suffering because of what it gives, but there's something precious in suffering for Christ. And I think some of you may know this better than I do. Tenth, we treasure the kingdom because in it we experience being fully known and fully loved. We fear being vulnerable with people, even with people who are meant to be closest to us. We fear sharing what's really going on in our head and our heart because we think, if they really knew, they wouldn't like me. But Galatians 4:9 says, but now you know God, or rather are known by God. In Christ we are fully known by God. And yet he continues to love us as Father, and welcomes us to his throne of grace to give us mercy and help in our times of need. The tenth reason to treasure the kingdom is because in the kingdom we are fully known and fully loved. The 11th and final reason is because it's free. In the parables, the characters have to sell everything to gain their treasure. In the gospel, Christ gives up everything for us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Christ gives up everything so we can freely receive all things. But although for us the kingdom is free, it's all of grace, it's not worthless. Most things that are free are worthless. I've even seen some being handed out today, those little cardboard trinkets the supermarkets give out to convince you to shop at that one and not that one. Worthless. But receiving Christ and all his benefits is totally free. It's free, though it may cost everything. It's free, but it's not worthless. It's the greatest treasure of all. So there you go, 11 reasons to treasure the kingdom of heaven. I pray that many of them have hit our hearts. Now, the reason I just gave us all 11 is that's the message I need to hear. I need to be reminded again and again of how good the kingdom of heaven is, how good it is to know God in Christ, to be filled with his Spirit, and I think I'm not alone. Now, this is going to be a great morning tea conversation. Why should you or I value the kingdom above all else? What can you think of as a 12th and 13th reason? And how do we train our heart to do this? Now, Jesus hasn't finished. There's one last parable he tells which challenges us to put the treasure on display. Verse 51, so back in Matthew 13. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Have they really understood these things? I'm not sure. In fact, I'm not 100% sure. I know what the parable about the new and old treasure means. The picture is fairly easy to understand. There's an owner of a house and he's showing off his collection. His storeroom has both valuable antiques and the latest technology, treasures new and old, bringing them out to show. But what's it mean? This is a tricky one. The parable itself isn't all that hard. It's actually what Jesus says in the introduction. Look at verse 52. Who are these teachers of the law, or literally scribes? I think Jesus is talking about every disciple, every follower of Jesus. Jesus calls us, his new people, to be scribes, the new experts of Christ and his kingdom. And these treasures, new and old, it's the truth of the kingdom of heaven. It's the things revealed before Jesus, so in the Old Testament, our Old Testament, and it's the new things, things Jesus and his apostles will teach, so our New Testament. And if this is what it means, then it's our job as disciples of the kingdom to bring out the treasures of the kingdom and show them to the world. That's one of the things about treasure. If you have something truly precious, you tend to put it behind lock and key. Priceless treasures get locked away in a bank vault. Or if you've got the silver cutlery and the nice plates you got as a wedding gift, you wrap them up in tissue paper and you never, ever use them. But Jesus says the treasure of the kingdom is to be brought out and put on display. If we treasure Christ above all else, we'll want to boast about this treasure that we've found. We'll be like someone showing off their antiques and latest acquisitions. If we treasure Christ, we'll speak of Christ. Bring the treasure out. Show them off. Tell everyone how good Jesus is. Because unlike normal treasure that can only belong to me, the value of the kingdom doesn't go down when it's shared. And how do we learn to bring out treasure, new and old, and show and tell how good Jesus is? Well, Jesus says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So yes, there are practical things we can learn about speaking the gospel clearly. We're going to be focusing on that actually in term two in our growth groups. But number one is we learn to treasure the kingdom of heaven. We learn to treasure the kingdom. And that's what we're going to pray about now. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then we're going to pray together in song that the Lord would be our vision, that the things of Christ and his kingdom would be supreme in our heart. Let's pray. Loving Father, please tune our hearts to treasure the things of the kingdom of heaven. May knowing you as Father, being filled by your Spirit, calling you your Son, our Lord and Saviour, may these things fill our hearts. May we treasure them above all else. May we treasure being forgiven, being clothed in Christ's righteousness, the hope of eternity, the joy of Christian fellowship. Help us count the world as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. And from knowing him, may our love for him overflow so we boast in him, showing off the treasures of the kingdom by speaking the good news of Jesus. Amen.